All right, welcome back. Pints and Politics. What episode are we on today?
71, man. In the 70s, you know, we're still in those offensive linemen.
Yeah.
I tell you, I can't wait till we get to the 80s. You know?
Start getting wide receivers.
It's those wide outs, baby. But yeah, this is episode 71. We're calling it the Walter Jones episode. Seattle Seahawks offensive tackle. Man, he was a human bulldozer. Hall of Famer, 9-time Pro Bowler, 4-time first team All Pro, and member of the NFL 2000s All Decades team.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to run out of players before long because we're going to get in triple digits. So we might just have to start it back over.
But that's right.
But we got to thank our sponsor, Comber Distributing, once again. Today's brew is Slow Play Back 9.
Yeah.
Light lager.
Good beer. Yeah.
It's very light.
Again, it's better than your Bud Light.
Yep.
But yeah, Slow Play is a local Rock Hill brewery right here. Man, we could walk to it if we wanted to.
Well, I love it's disc golf.
Yeah.
These are golf.
So on a side note, the guy who runs the tournament here every year, I let him stay in the guest house, and he's from
which wing of it?
yeah.
He's going through Trump renovations right now. He's tearing down.
He stays on the east wing.
East wing.
Yeah. He can't get into the ballroom right now. It's under construction, but
bowling alley finished.
Yeah.
For those of you that don't know, we always talk about Heath's guest house, and it's always growing in size. And
yeah,
it really hasn't. But we're always
and it's like
trying to make it sound like he's so wealthy that he's adding on all this.
And it's
stuff.
A 2-bed, 900 square feet deal. You know. It's just big enough to house a podcast studio and a bathroom and a toilet, you know?
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Good.
Man, so had a lot going on this past 2 weeks. You and I were trying to scribble down some notes.
Yeah. It's hard to keep up with a 2-week period.
It is.
Of what all you're doing, especially like whenever we're in session. We basically have session, we have our meetings, and
right.
It's hard because you're just throwing in a few work things.
And, you know, after the holidays, we're going to be right back in session. So, I think going back and doing the weekly podcast with a midweek sip,
yes.
I think that'll help too, because our long-term memory ain't so good no more.
Yeah, and the problem with that is we end up losing emotion with a lot of the things that are going on, I do believe, because things that we might get fired up and have phone conversations about midweek,
yeah.
We end up not even putting on the podcast sometimes.
Yeah, that's right. So speaking of our sponsor, Comber Distributing, they actually hosted us.
Yep, legislative night.
Yeah. And the delegation, usually, this is an annual thing. We turn out and meet the Chamber of Commerce folks, business leaders in the community, and Chip just hosts us.
Yeah.
Man, a hot topic out there was the hemp drinks.
Yes, it was.
Once again, that thing keeps coming up.
Well, and they passed it, what was it, in the budget? That they put in the ban, a 1-year moratorium.
Oh, the federal.
On the federal level.
Yes.
They've got 1 year to get it fixed.
Yeah.
Which one of my meetings today, this past week, I'll get into that later, but a senator brought up a point about putting a sunlight, a 1 year on Section 230, the way that we did the hemp drinks, and that way it forces you to come up with a solution. You got 1 year to come up with a solution. I was like, that is a brilliant idea.
Oh, wow. Well, and let me back up a little bit, just high level on this episode. We'll be covering, you know, sort of our weekend review. We'll be covering some controversial football picks that has subsequently led to an ethics complaint against us. So we'll talk about all those things and then some of the things that you and I are looking forward to, you know, the next coming weeks. And I know we've got Thanksgiving right around the corner here. And then we're going to be rolling right into Christmas and session. So there's a couple things we'll probably want to talk about, sort of priorities as we get back into session. But those are sort of the three segments, how the show's going to run this week. But yeah, I enjoyed Back to the Comber event. I enjoyed that. You know, it's a little bit of time to meet with folks, catch up with folks you hadn't seen in a while.
And especially hear from some of the business leaders or that are different industries.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I had a very long conversation about insurance while we were there, which, you know.
Yeah, that's a big one, man.
Yeah, and banking. We discussed a little bit about banking as well.
Was the person you were talking about a banker or someone from a credit union?
Actually, it was two people. We were both talking.
Because that has come up, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, for you and I who aren't in that industry, we think they're synonymous, one and the same, and that's just not the case.
Right.
So
that is true.
But and again, we talk about this a lot. That's a good thing about what we do is we learn a lot of things about all sorts of businesses and industries, and hopefully we can, you know, become a little bit smarter.
Yeah. Well, you seem to pick it up a lot quicker than I do at times. But once I hear it a few times, it kind of sticks, you know. Ask my wife. She'll tell you.
Yeah, right. So the hemp drinks was sort of a topic of conversation. We talked about some of that stuff. And I think the group, which included myself, you, David Martin, Randy Ligon was there.
Jackie Terrible.
Yep, Jackie from TKK, and also Wes Clymer. Senator Wes Clymer was there. I know Michael Johnson and Everett, other two senators,
they were still
to come.
In a committee.
They were still in the medical affairs subcommittee talking about regulations on hemp drinks and other products that contain these chemicals and substances. So they weren't able to join us. But again, it is a hot topic. I know that medical subcommittee is meeting again Monday, November the 24th. They're coming back in. That's going to be their second meeting in the subcommittee. I did listen to that first one that they held. And I was kind of surprised, not in a bad way, about how the conversation went. But it sounds like Johnson's subcommittee is considering potency caps on these products. So if, for instance, a hemp drink, right now you can get a 20 milligram hemp drink at your grocery store.
Yeah.
Like at Lowe's, Whole Foods, or other.
They could cap that out at 5.
Right.
At the grocery store, but you can get your 20 at the liquor store.
That's right. So they are considering potency caps. I think I heard 5 or 10 somewhere in there and down could be found in a grocery store. Anything higher than that will go through the ABC system. Also, another one is ban on synthetics.
Yes.
Another one was...
Which even the hemp industry wants regulations on
right.
that.
Another one was no on-premise sales. Hmm. So bars and restaurants won't be able to sell it.
Which one of the things that was discussed there was how these drinks can take a little bit longer to kick in.
Yeah, right.
So you may feel fine, and then all of a sudden you start driving home and it kick in on
you. Yeah. And lastly, make sure we're taxing it appropriately. And, you know, we made a joke about this, how the ag, that's what it is. It's not medical affairs. It's ag. It's the ag subcommittee that Michael Johnson is chairing. How the ag subcommittee got a bill on age restriction. That's the last one, age restriction on hemp drinks that involves a tax issue is beyond us. I hope that's Jermaine back when it gets back
is
over
it,
to the
is
house.
Is Wes over that committee?
Yes, he is. Yeah, yeah. So York County's got a voice in this
yes.
issue and Everett.
Yes.
So it's Everett, Johnson, and Wes is the chair of full Senate Ag. So,
yep. And then you had your fundraiser.
Yeah,
on the 12th.
Yeah. Had a little local fundraiser. Had about 35-40 folks show.
Yeah,
a good little event. Very intimate. It was at Elsie's over there. It
wasn't a campaign kickoff or anything of that nature.
Nope. It was just a meet and greet for folks that I didn't know. A lot of everyone I knew. So it was a lot of just catching up, seeing how everybody was doing. And you know, if you know me, I'm kind of low key. I'm not a big speech guy. But somehow we did have a good friend do a toast and then kick it over to me. And I'm like, oh, here we go.
Nice.
You know? But for all who were there can attest, I kept it 30 seconds, maybe 30 to 60 seconds. So, you know, I short and sweet. Thanked everybody, and
he just said, "Please donate to the wing renovations."
No, yeah, I think my comments were, "Look, you know, I never planned on running, but now that I am in, I want to bring some common sense and common courtesy to the office, right?
Yeah.
Because, and you and I both can be guilty of it. Sometimes the vitriol can get, you know, heated.
Can we get through a podcast without trying to cut me down?"
Not today, Satan.
It's that sideways speak
not
that my
today.
Wife does to me.
No, I'm saying we. I'm saying I'm guilty too, man.
Yeah, she does that too. We need to quit spending so much money.
Right.
We need to come in on time.
Yeah, so, you know, Comer's kicked off our 2 week. What was your, where'd you have to run to after that?
So, well, I didn't get to hear your speech.
Because it was snowing that night.
Yes.
We came out of Comer's and it was snowing. We had that winter front come through and I was like, what? Snowing in November.
Yeah. That was pretty funny. We walked out and it was, I mean, it didn't feel that cold. But yeah, so your fundraiser was on the 12th. And whenever I left there, we had MAMA, the Mothers Against Media Addiction.
Okay.
Held a screening along with Fort Mill School District and Less Than Three, my nonprofit in Fort Mill. So we went to do that screening. Great event. Had people staying around asking questions, educators, parents, throughout the community, some other elected officials. So we were able to watch that documentary movie and then ask, answer questions. Even had someone from MAMA in D.C., the legislative liaison, fly in just for this. So it ended up being really good. And the days before, so on the 10th, the same day as the Comer event, I had a Lake Wylie golf tournament for veterans to raise money for them. I didn't play. I just showed up to thank them for what they're doing. I mean, it was amazing with how much. And it seems like we covered that. So we might have recovered it or did an episode last week, might have covered a little bit of that because I remember talking about how many volunteers had and how huge that was. And then I had the Comporium Pioneers tech talk. So Comporium Pioneers is the volunteer sector of Comporium, the company. And they had me come in talking about mental health that day.
While we're talking about tech, let's stay on that topic for a second because, you know, when you and I were freshmen, do you remember that some Roblox folks came in and talked to us?
Every year.
I tell you what, over like the last 2 weeks, I've been seeing a lot of this Roblox stuff come up and, you know, and I know you can speak to this a lot more in depth than I can, but what I want to focus on is what is this thing where, because I know you have talked about and we've talked about on this show that Roblox is a platform for child predators and pedophiles to go on and they use this code language.
They're in Minecraft.
Yeah, that Minecraft, that's right, where you can build a character and the t-shirt says CP, child porn. And like they use all of these sort of coded images and, you know, language to get people in. But this is what really shocked me was Roblox, for one thing, will not actively go and kick off people who are child predators or pedophiles. Okay. You know what they will do though? And they had a press release about it. They went out and kicked off what they called vigilantes. Say like
that
Guffy
pointing it out.
Went on and set up a Roblox account, build a character, and then went in and actually lured these child predators into showing their card, so to speak. And then he
luring the children.
Luring
the predator.
So and then these vigilantes, according to Roblox, would then notify law enforcement, who would then track them down and try to prosecute. Well, Roblox is coming out and saying, those vigilantes, you're off. You're off the platform. Yeah. But they won't go and kick child predators and pedophiles off.
Well, they have rolled out a lot of safety procedures that are coming up. And the most dangerous thing about Roblox and where they stand is the platform hopping.
Yeah.
So you're not actually communicating with someone on Roblox. You have to get on Discord to communicate.
But they're luring them off.
Right. By offering them Robux. That 764 stuff.
Yes, that's
been seeing a lot of that, of the self-harm of these groups controlling these kids
on
Roblox.
So it was some of that stuff, and I think I retweeted something like, come on, Roblox, you can do better. But then there was a hacker that came on Sean Ryan's podcast that they just posted earlier this week.
And that's disturbing. I couldn't even make it through that.
Correct.
I cut it off.
And I just don't understand, if you are an employee of Roblox or an executive of Roblox, you need to quit and be a whistleblower because the bullshit that they're parading around saying their safety is for the birds. It's a sorry-ass excuse, and it's harming children. It's just – it gets my blood boiling, man.
Speaking of whistleblowers, the funny thing is the Can't Look Away documentary is about the attorneys because Big Tech was saying you can't even file for discovery due to Section 230 because they're immune. So they kept that you could never find anything on discovery. Well, that court case and that documentary, they win it. And the judge gives them access. Well, just released today, come out about, the news just hit today. Released a couple weeks ago, the law firm that is handling everything out of Seattle is going through all of these files that they've gotten on Discovery.
Right.
One of the top headlines, and we just posted it on the nonprofit, Meta had an action thing. You had to be reported 17 times. 17 times for them to pull you off.
Really?
Yeah. So that was just one of the whistleblowers. But it also talks about, just as I was saying before, other employees communicating that how are we any better than Big Tobacco if your plan is trying to use algorithms and addict people younger than the age of 13
correct
to get on the platform.
Yeah.
So there's all of this discoveries coming out. Hopefully that will open up the door to the lawsuits. I think they said there's 1,800 lawsuits. I'm only one of them.
Right.
But 1,800 of them. So, and Roblox is just one. Snapchat, they've got all of
right
these details that will be
Minecraft,
coming out.
Minecraft, all of them.
Yes.
Yeah, and again, folks, that's just irresponsible, right? Not even on a personal level, but on a corporate business level, where you are running a business, and instead of protecting kids against child predators, you only care about the bottom line, right? Of the dollar. And that's sick. And they got to go.
But they talk about that.
So anyway, I didn't want to take you off.
You're good.
Weekend review, but
then on the 13th, you had the DJJ committee, the first one.
Yeah, so we did the Comer thing. That following Tuesday, I did Straight Talk with Manning. We talked about healthcare professional shortage, physicians, nurses. I mean, it's across the board. And, you know, it's a big number, and had a good discussion with him. I should post that in, so everyone can see it on our channels. But, yeah, just overall a good conversation. You know, we've got to address healthcare professional shortages. You know, the Senate is considering, I shouldn't say lowering the standards, but they call it scope of practice, where they allow nurses to do things that normally they wouldn't be able to do unsupervised. And I don't think that's the answer.
Yeah, I mean, wouldn't that increase liability? That would be my fear.
There's a whole lot of things. Now, there is a practical outcome, I think, that Senator Tom Davis out of the Hilton Head area is trying to get to do some of that general practitioner stuff without a physician.
I'll tell you, Tom Davis has always taken on the big issues.
Right.
Like, he's not looking for the little things he can do.
Right.
Whenever he takes on something, he's taking on something large.
Yeah.
And he does a great job, in my opinion. He's one of the guys I looked up to before I even got elected.
Yeah, he's a smart guy.
With the way that he takes the approach.
So, but again, there's a lot of what they call healthcare shortage areas around our state, depending on, I mean, there's shortages, say, in Calhoun County of dentists, right? Or there's certain shortages in Aiken County of nurse practitioners. And I'm not saying this is exactly right, but I'm saying depending on what county you're in depends on the shortage. And so I've been having conversations with physician groups and hospitals of how we can address some of those concerns, expanding educational opportunities, talking about the Trump administration does have a federal program. It's a rural healthcare initiative where South Carolina has applied for some federal money. And we'll know January 1st if we get $1 billion to address rural healthcare in the state from the federal government.
I seen in other federal government funding news, Lindsey Graham funded the fire truck that TK has been fighting for. I'm sure there's not too many people in TK that speak highly of Lindsey Graham, but he got it done on the federal level.
Why wouldn't they thank him for the fire truck?
Because that's just not the way that they work.
Yeah, well, that's politics over.
There might be good citizens in TK. I'm just talking about the people in politics in TK.
So that week I did that Straight Talk conversation about healthcare professional shortages, which was, that's going to be an ongoing thing. I then had the opportunity to run down to Columbia that afternoon and participate in an energy legislative panel with Senator Tom Davis, Senator Russell Ott, and Representative Gil Gatch. Out of the Somerville area.
Big issues once again.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, Senator Davis was there. He does a great job talking about the reopening of VC Sumner. Obviously, that's going to be a big item to where we don't put taxpayers or consumer or, you know, the consumers of the energy at risk anymore like we did prior, I think, back in, what was that, 2017?
Yes.
So lessons learned there. We're allowing private companies like Meta, Google, Amazon, who are setting up some data centers who will utilize some of that power to invest early in the capital construction costs of VC Sumner to where that private dollar is at risk, not public taxpayer money, or you know, it wouldn't affect consumers negatively in hiking up rates.
That reminds me, whenever I talk about the AI moratorium, we need to go back to that and what DeSantis has been doing.
Yeah, what did they ever decide on that?
Well, we'll get to that because we're still going through the list.
Yeah, so back to, you know, later on that week, I did have the DJJ ad hoc. Again, we've talked about this on a prior episode. This is an ad hoc committee that's chaired by our friend, Representative Brandon Cox out of Goose Creek, the 14th largest city here in the state.
Hijacked.
And again, we heard 2 days of testimony. You know, the first day was from, you know, a lot of state agencies and departments that deal with juvenile crime. And then the following day, which was, I believe, the 13th, was a lot of advocacy groups, parents, tragically, who have lost children due to, you know, juvenile crime. And I tell you, anytime you talk about kids, I'm just a softie. I tried to just thank them and give some parting comments when we were wrapping up testimony. And again, don't go and look at the video. But I mean, I'm getting choked up. And these aren't, like, I don't even know these folks. But it's just, you know, when parents talk about losing their children, man, it's just, and we can do something about it, right? That's some of the things. And so I think Representative Cox has done a good job.
That's one of the things that's not great to, you know, run a campaign on, but you can actually make real life difference.
Yeah. Well, and so I will say, walking around the building, getting into the elevator, we heard, you know what? I heard a lot from staff who have been in that building for 20 and 30 years. And you know what the common comment I got? You know what? You guys are just different. And I said, what do you mean? And they said, not just you and Brandon, but y'all's class and some of the new members, y'all seem to have a heart for stuff. Not to say that former folks didn't, but like, we're willing to show it. I don't know if that's our age. I don't know what that is, but they just said,
probably all the Taylor Swift you listen to.
Yeah. Soften me up, you know, but yeah, you know, it's, that's what it was. What I got was, you guys seem to empathize.
Yeah.
You might not change policy for it, but at least you recognize the pain that what these folks are going through. You know what I mean? And
isn't that what we're there for?
I agree.
I mean, we're there to represent, find problems, and legislate the solutions. It's one of the things that I always complain about, is everyone always wants to talk about being proactive, but we really shouldn't write laws until there's an issue
right
to which we have to address it.
Yeah, don't go try to write a law seeking
solution. It's the reason a lot of laws don't get passed, because everyone's trying to have all this forward thinking about what all is going to happen. And government, in my opinion, should be a lot more nimble. So whenever we see there's a problem, we should address it quickly.
Yeah, right.
Now, if you're trying to write new legislation, yes, it should move slow and methodical.
And some of the solutions that we find aren't even on legislative. We don't have to pass a bill, right?
Right.
It's more of talking to the department or the agency of which that issue that your constituent's having.
It could just be one little sentence that's written in a regulation.
Correct.
That says you must do this first.
Yep. So, speaking of, David Martin connected me with a constituent over in York. Again, I think it's Tommy's constituent. But that parent had custody of a grandchild who had a therapist. And during the government shutdown, they were notified the day, say on a Wednesday, they were called and said, hey, the therapist that accompanies the ABA therapist that's with your autistic granddaughter won't be there tomorrow. And they're like, what? And this ABA therapist helps that child deal with abrupt changes, controls maybe some temper tantrums and other things. So really assists the teacher in making sure that all the needs of that child's taken care of. Also in consideration of all the other kids in the class, right?
Yeah.
Well, just like that. Cut out. No more. And when they called down to HHS here in South Carolina, they were told, yeah, due to the government shutdown, we're not doing that no more. So when we open back up. So you want to talk about real life problems and how a government shutdown impacts families here in York County? That's how it happened. And thankfully, the school that she's in was very understanding. Like I said, David Martin hooked me up with this person. I called him, and, you know, so thankful for a great relationship I have with Eunice Medina and her staff. She's the director of HHS. She said, Heath, that shutdown has nothing to do with what this parent is dealing with. We'll go downstairs and
make sure we point it out
and deal with the Healthy Connections folks. And literally, I think got them back on track the next day.
That's awesome.
You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, that's what makes you feel good whenever you go home at night.
Correct.
Whenever you know that you can solve and you see that problem, you see the solution, and then you see the results of it.
And so for any constituent that is in York County, actually, I don't even care if you're in York County, and I know you feel the same way. If you have an issue, and if we can help you, that's our job. That's the way we look at it. And whether it's a tax issue, whether it's a culvert underneath your driveway that needs to get unclogged, whether it's a dead deer on side of a local road or a state road or something like this, call us, reach out to us. That is part of the job.
And I will tell people often whenever they call, you know, we only have so much political capital.
Yeah.
If it's going to take legislation. But I will often recommend, okay, this representative might not be your representative, but this representative is passionate about it.
Yeah, correct.
So I would like for you to reach out to them, let them know that I'm willing to help, or either I'll put them in a group message to see if we can get help that way. And who can carry, because everyone to every issue is important to someone individually, but there is still so much bandwidth that you have.
Oh, yeah.
That you can carry.
Well, and I think that's why David Martin hooked
that
parent or that grandparent up with me, because David knows, you know, with Ben and Asher and some of the things that we've experienced with school district and other things, he knows I have a heart for kids with special needs. And so that's why he reached out and, you know, just thankful I could help that person out.
You know what I love about that is it's one of those things that, you know, whenever you as a parent and you're struggling and you're going through all of this and how you've come out on the other side, the amount of people that you can just help. And like you talk about empathy, you can't get more empathetic than someone that actually knows the struggles. But to actually be in a position, it's you know, not saying that, I firmly believe that God has us where we want to be.
Yeah.
Or where he needs us to be.
And that's the great thing is that, you know, he puts that purpose in us.
Yeah.
And through our shared experiences or individual experiences, you know, you bring your heart for certain things. I bring mine to it. And, you know, and I think at the end of the day, it's just the willingness to serve, right? So we take that kind of stuff seriously. Not saying that we take care of all problems that constituents have.
Well, you're a lot better at multitasking than I am.
But, man, another thing that happened the last 2 weeks is, man, I was at York Tech twice. And
I missed it both times.
Well, you know,
sorry, York Tech.
You're a big-time D.C. lobbyist these days, I've heard. But, went over there.
Lobbyists do have to be registered, by the way.
That's true. Oh, so you're not a registered lobbyist.
I'm not a lobbyist.
According to you. Anyway, so went over there, had a good conversation. I saw Jackie was over there, David was over there, Senator Stubbs was over there for a Friday morning session. And I think it was being hosted at York Tech, but it was that Old English Consortium, which I'm not too familiar with, but they were talking about the rescaling of academic weights amongst public schools and all the things.
I wish they'd just go back to ABCDE or ABCDF.
Well, it's talking about factoring in, you know, if you're a typical child, if you're in poverty, if you're in with a disability, and all of those things about how they fund, how all the money goes to Columbia, and then it funds twice a year to individual school districts, and then also how do we sort of write the balance of scales with charter schools and public schools, you know, all of those things. And folks, I'm telling you, that is another whole episode in itself. The other one was just their legislative. York Tech hosted the delegation.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of us were there. And, you know, they just want to talk about...
Is that the same one that last year, whenever Senator Clymer tried to Irish exit and we were putting his name up on everything?
I think y'all were. I heard about that, yeah. Yeah, I don't even know what those graphs are, but they had a live survey.
Yeah.
And people started saying, where is Clymer? Or something like that. And so that was the big bubble. That was like the biggest bubble.
Yeah.
And everyone around the room's like, ha ha, legislative delegation's having fun with Senator Clymer. Senator Clymer, are you? Oh, where is it? Yeah, yeah. So I was like, oh.
He tried to be sneaky to leave because he, now granted, he had to get home to his kids. But,
yeah.
But we just figured we'd have a little
but
fun.
But we're all guilty of that. Like, we all sometimes have to just touch and go. And so if it's a 2-hour event, some folks might just stay in for 15-30 minutes and then have to go. And this, the good thing was, this thing was 6 to 7. It is at dinner time.
Yeah.
Right.
But I'm sure that Senator Clymer has gotten with Dr. Moore.
Oh,
beforehand,
yeah.
And kind of knows what all is going on.
So your text man has got a lot of stuff going on, man. It seems like them and Winthrop both are having, you know, sort of on an upswing. I know they were dealing with some difficulties with leadership, you know, but I think now that Stacey Moore is there and, you know, the president over at Winthrop, Cerna, I think having stability at the top has been really helpful for both institutions. I am excited to educate the two listeners that York Tech is going to have a LIFE program. So if you're not familiar with what a LIFE program is, this is where colleges are starting to take in special needs kids, whether it's Down syndrome, autism, whatever. And it's for kids 18 to 30. And they're going to start bringing in kids with disabilities and start working with them and establishing a program of education and workforce development. And they're going to be working with Max Abilities here.
That's awesome.
Yeah, man. Especially with Miracle Park and the cafe going in. The hotel that's coming in downtown here in Rock Hill that is very similar to the one that's in Clemson, the Shepherd Hotel, where they are going to employ special needs adults to help, you know.
I remember the first time I ever met Ryan Sanderson, our friend that owns Knowledge Perk.
Yeah.
The first time I actually met him, he was doing a company that actually employed special needs.
Yeah.
You know, he's an entrepreneur, so he's always got his hands in everything. But I love that.
Yeah.
That he was actually that forward thinking at the time.
Right.
You know?
And so I think every year I always try to reshare schools that are really trying to make a student experience in college for special needs kids and or 18, 19-year-olds. And I think I've reshared this latest year was when Greek Life at Clemson are bringing in
every fraternity.
Yeah. They're bringing in a special needs or a down, you know what I mean? And it's so cool because
you can see the joy on their faces they're
and you know
running through.
You know, those 18, 19-year-olds who are getting accepted by the typical community into a fraternity, I think it'll make not only that 18 or 19-year-old dealing with special needs better, but the impact that that young man or woman is going to have on that chapter of that fraternity or sorority will be immeasurable. It just will.
I agree.
Just like my boys have had an impact not only in my household, but my extended social network, it's great to see that kind of development here at home at York Tech. So 2027, that's
you can't
that
get
starts.
More genuine than someone with special needs.
Oh, I know, man.
Like
they
just there's no one's ever trying to deceive you.
No,
you know it's the realest, rawest emotion, and I think that if all of us could live a little bit more like that.
Oh, and
then
you know Ben,
life could be better.
Ben, you know, it is what he is feeling is what you're going to get from Ben, and just you should come to lunch with us sometimes. Ben will, as he's going into a restaurant. Or when he is like when he comes in and we're going to the table, or when we're leaving, he will walk in or out, and he'll see people and he'll just go up and touch them.
Yeah,
he'll just grab their arm, touch them on the shoulder, give them a hug, and he don't even know him.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what it is, but something touches him and he's like, that person needs a hug today, and he'll just flat out give you a hug.
I love it.
So yeah, it's awesome, man. So how was the rest of your week?
I after the Can't Look Away documentary, I flew out to DC right away.
There you go again.
I was speaking, and this is it's kind of big news, but I was speaking at Catholic University. I am not Catholic. I am Christian, but I'm not Catholic. I've been to a couple Catholic weddings. I call that like the first day of squat session. Like you really feel it in your knees afterwards from all the standing and sitting. But, you know, I was invited, Dr. Mary McGraw, who testified with me in Congress at Columbus Law Center, which is part of Catholic University, was hosting a responsibility in technology day. So there was tech professionals, there were religious, within the Catholic institution, there were lobbyists and there were professors and then law students all there to discuss. So it wasn't one-sided. It wasn't like, let's beat up on big tech. But my focus there, my keynote was about taking the personal connection with what these problems are and why it's important for these law students and these professionals to really think about the personal connection with it.
Oh yeah.
So that was really huge. And the day as I flew in, I met a lady, and I'm not going to share her name because I don't know if she would want it out there.
Can I interrupt you for a second?
Yeah.
That's funny that you said that. So you went back, you went at this Catholic University thing, right? And you talked about personal relationships. Very similar. I was just listening to a podcast or something where this psychologist or whatever said the most harm out of COVID wasn't getting a vaccine or this, that, and the other. It was actually remote work.
Yeah.
Because it stopped, especially young people, from experiencing and getting those personal relationships. And another thing he talked about was how, I mean, think about your own personal or professional life where your friend network, maybe even your wife, you met at work. Right. And when you stop doing that for a couple of years, that isolated these young folks that
I wouldn't recommend meeting your wife at work. That's kind of the Harvey Weinstein problem.
Oh, boy. I tell you, you have a cynical way of looking at. No, but I mean, it was just an interesting.
I did meet my wife while I was at work, but through her brother.
See, there right? you go. Look, I don't know how y'all do it on that side of the selling these, but. But yeah, I mean, it that just struck me as like, wow, it's coincidental. Like you're talking about personal relationships and this, that, and the other. So.
Well, and that morning, right before I speak, so I'm going to this. This is the largest. I forget what they call it, but I call it a cathedral. The largest Catholic cathedral in the United States.
Okay.
It is actually the tallest building in D.C. because they waited until the dome was done and then they put the cross on top of it as well to make it taller, but. As I'm showing up there, you feel like, I mean, to me, I felt like I was walking into like Notre Dame.
Right.
You know? And I get a text from a lady that I'd met in Colorado at one of the Tebow events. And this text, I'm going to read it, but she said, meeting with the Holy Father this morning brought me to tears. He's very kind and gentle. And I spoke with him about your son and our plans. And that was huge. So that means, you know, the Pope, the leader of the free world in Catholicism.
Yeah. Who's out of Chicago.
Yeah, out of Chicago, is actually aware of what happened with Gavin, and she gave him the less than three pin.
Oh, wow.
And that was huge. Yeah, and even as I was telling those people at the university, like there was a couple of bishops and stuff there, and I'm explaining, they're like, wow, that's really huge.
Yeah.
But I also found out that the Pope is actually, his focus is protecting kids online, especially with AI coming forward. So that's going to be a big focus of the Catholic Church moving forward. He's looking at the online harms and what artificial intelligence can do.
So you'll be going international, going to the Vatican.
I've been on TV at the Rome before, but
yeah, no, that's great.
I had to have a translator, but yeah, I was. I wonder how they translate country.
Oh, you mean like the slang?
I wonder how dumb I sound on their TV. You know,
just as dumb as you do here.
Just as dumb. It's all one and the same, right? But yeah. And then I flew back in, and Lake Wylie, Duke Power, the Lake Wylie Hydro Dam. Their 100-year celebration.
Yeah, that's right.
And I took Callahan up there. That was great to go through to see how the old technology is just as good now.
Talked about all the seven,
And Mayor Boleg, who works for Duke, he actually kind of gave us a tour around. And Callahan loves it. So now every time he's talking about something, he's saying damn, and his mom's head's whipping around.
Right.
But he's talking about the dam.
Yeah, he actually, he is a member of the Catawba Cog.
Yes.
With me, and we actually, he had a little presentation that he did, and probably very similar to.
Very cool.
I know, man. I can't believe it's been that long.
Yeah.
Jeez.
100 years. That is, you know, the big story with the Lake Wylie Dam is whenever they were building it, there was a catfish the size of a Volkswagen. And one of the guys, like, quit and said they would. That was always the story I heard growing up. Which, you know, I ain't ever caught anything that big in Lake Wylie, but.
Yeah. Well, that's back when you could eat the fish out of the lake, you know?
It is the deepest part of the lake, you know? But then right after that, I had to fly back to D.C. for a task force for NCSL.
I know for the folks who are listening, can't see me shaking my head.
Well, so, I mean, I guess you could say this was similar to lobbying, but NCSL has an AI task force.
Okay.
And the AI moratorium came up. So the day before the event, you have the AI task force, and this is a group of Republican and Democrat lawmakers across the country that are House reps or senators.
Yeah.
That their focus is on AI. And while they all were meeting and talking to their senators, I was unable to do that due to the time I came in. I was able to do it the next day. So I met with Senator Graham. I met with Tim Scott's office. And I went ahead and swung by Ted Cruz's office as well, because I know he's one of the ones that is pushing this AI moratorium.
So what's the latest with that moratorium?
So they were going to put it in, I think it's the NDAA, the defense budget. And as we went there to talk to senators, I mean, it was obvious. I mean, it was rejected 99-1 the first time. Then all of a sudden it seemed to someone leak that President Trump was going to issue an executive order, like that night. The next day we have our conference where we're talking. I speak up against it there. Senator Blumenthal's office I know was there. And then I went to a event with the guy who founded eBay. And talking with them, and then at that time they end up pushing it back to say it's going through the NDAA again. So I'm not sure where it stands.
Okay, so the executive order was not issued.
The executive order was not issued. That doesn't mean that it's not going to be issued.
Yeah.
But I think that they were trying to push it back that way. And then Thursday before I flew out, we had a White House visit. And, of course, I'm trying to get in to say, hey, like, let's not do this AI moratorium.
Right.
Don't have that luck. So we were in the Eisenhower building, which is part of the White House.
Okay.
That's where most of the staff works at. Very cool meeting with a lot of the legislative liaisons from the president's staff.
Yeah.
About different issues. And then immediately afterwards, I left the White House and then flew into Myrtle Beach.
The swamp to the beach.
Yeah, you can say that again. So the beach, I had to speak at the IAFCI, which is the International Association of Financial Crimes Investigators. So this was banks, credit unions. If you work in the financial industry, especially on the tech side, on protecting and security, a lot of people there. There was also SLED. There was agents from across the country there.
Okay.
And I was invited to do the keynote there, which I'd missed the first 2 days of the conference. I spoke last at the conference. And after I got done with my keynote, I was presented the award for Cyber Investigator of the Year. Which I'm not cyber investigator, I'm just a loudmouth. But the reason that they were doing that is they renamed their Cyber Investigator of the Year the Gavin Guffey Cyber Investigator
Year Award.
I'm gonna tear up just talking about it now. But that's one of those things that's a higher honor than standing on the stage with the president. Because whenever you lose a child, you want to make sure that they're not forgotten. And something like this ensures that their name lives on. So,
well, and I know that you say that you're not a cyber investigator, but what you have done is you've raised the profile, right, of the issue. And, you know me, you and I are probably polar opposites when it comes to those things. Like, whatever you're working on, man, you're raising a profile, where I'm just like head down, just doing the work. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I have learned by hanging out with you, there is a value in speaking out against things or just advocating the work that you are doing, because it raises that profile of the issue to where other folks are like, hey, you know what? I'm dealing with the same problem.
Yeah.
And sometimes you can...
Let's make everyone aware of
that's
it.
That's right. You can bring those folks together and bring that issue to a critical mass to where...
Well, I think that's... Whenever we were deskmates, I think that's one of the things that made us such a powerful team that first year was, you know, you are the type, your mind, you've got that executive mind to where you get... You see a problem, you've got 10 solutions. And then you're thinking about the easiest path to get there with making as little waves as possible.
Yeah.
Whereas me, I'm emotional. It's like I can see the problem, but I don't always know the solution, so I'm just going to make a lot of noise, you know? I'm going to make a lot of noise, and we're going to bring people in that can bring the solutions.
You were
you know?
The original the hammer, you know? When it came to the South Carolina State
Hashtag Steelbeard.
And Sarita came and just stole your title.
Yeah. You know? I would prefer not to be known as the hammer in Columbia. Thank you very much.
Oh, boy. Well, I think that wraps up the first segment.
Yeah.
This episode of Pints of Politics is brought to you by Comer Distributing. Comer Distributing Company is a wholesale beer distributor located in Rock Hill, South Carolina. Founded in 1971, Comer is a family-owned business that distributes beer and other beverages to York, Chester, Fairfield, Lancaster, Kershaw, Lexington, and Richland counties.
Oh, you gotta let it at least know when to run.
That's a good little lead in for this segment. Yeah, folks. So I think you and I received a phone call from the South Carolina Ethics Commission during the last 2 weeks here. I think we were both shocked.
Being hijacked.
Yeah, and you know, basically they called and said that a formal complaint. I'll just say how my conversation went, but. Basically just notified us that we had somebody who had made a formal complaint against us for, gambling, illegal gambling. And I was like, what? And obviously someone has misconstrued or maybe on purpose or just by maybe not paying full attention to what we're talking about. But while we are trying to raise the issue of online sports wagering, right? And again, we can go through the list of why this is sort of a common sense solution, we think, whether it's the state runs its own gambling lottery.
Mm-hmm.
So why can't private businesses do it? This consumer activity is already happening. Why don't we take some of the tax revenue benefits of it while also acknowledging that there's consumers who probably do this thing with offshore folks, and maybe they're being taken advantage of. So we can put in some consumer guardrails to protect consumers who decide to wager $20 on the Panther-Falcons game.
Right.
You know?
Now, is this your first ethics complaint?
It is.
Okay. It is. It's my second. I had a drag queen file an ethics complaint on me first time, but of course, no fault.
What was she mad about?
I don't know what he was mad about.
Sorry. You know what I mean.
Yeah. But no, I can't even... I think they were saying that I blocked them or something of that nature, but I had the auto filter on the page based on language.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
So if you have a brand new account and you're commenting, then it automatically kind of hides the post, and that's all set up by default through Meta. Like, X doesn't do that.
It was, you know, for me, I was, you know, initially I was, you know, intrigued, like, wait, what? And then when they told me what it was about, I actually started laughing. I couldn't believe. And then when they told me who it was, and I'm not going to say the person's name, this person has my cell phone and your cell phone. It's someone who
It's a pastor. Let's say that.
It's someone who will interact with us if we see them. You know, this person will come up and at least be cordial. And so it was very
surprising. Somebody that's ran for office before.
So it just surprised me that this is someone who's local to York County, who has access to us. They could have shot us a text message because we've been talking about this now for 10 weeks.
Yeah. Right? And anybody that actually listens to the podcast, everyone knows how many times we have said, we are not betting any money against each other.
Yeah, no. This is literally just pick for the fun of it type deal. And, you know, and again, it's to raise the
awareness
for the issue that, hey, guys, we're missing out on some potential tax revenue, and we liken this conversation to our neighbors to the north. North Carolina has legalized online sports wagering or online sports gambling, I don't care what you call it, to the tune of, in the first year, it brought in an estimated $131 million of tax revenue.
And you even showed the hotspot, showing how much was actually coming out of York County.
Correct. And folks, this is $131 million that could help offset other expenditures. Like, you and I have talked about our desire that we do not want, we want to eliminate the income tax as fast as possible, right? And we've made the effort in the House. Well, if we want to totally eliminate it, we've got to cut spending, but we also need to find other ways that we can offset those cuts.
Right.
This is an easy one because the consumer behavior already exists. Look, in our title is representative, right? And so I think when it comes to, you know, gambling, or remember video poker back in the 90s, it was this big moral dilemma. And look, I get it. I'm not saying set down a, you know, a Caesars casino, brick and mortar here in the state. What I am saying, though, is this activity already exists. And to say that it doesn't is just putting your head in the sand. I'm sorry. It's to be, you're not facing reality, right? And so that's the strongest argument for it. And so when the markets that market is made up of our people that we represent, those people are out in front of us on this. And all I'm saying is, let's capture some of the tax revenue and use those as benefits to our state.
Yeah.
Right.
And I haven't advocated for or against it.
Yeah.
I've shared my experiences as a kid growing up and seeing so many people blow their entire paycheck
right
on video poker machines. I am certainly not for a casino, especially considering the Catawbas had to go to North Carolina to open theirs. And they are a recognized tribe within the state. So I'm not for opening this casino. That bill was being pushed. But at the same time, you know, whenever we're talking about online sports bets, I don't necessarily see that big of a deal because people just use VPNs as is. And that's what that heat map showed, is how many people in South Carolina are betting in North Carolina.
And so there's it's already occurring. So, again, why don't we protect our consumers as much as we can, make some tax revenue off it, and again, this is a common sense bill that addresses that issue. So, as we're raising the awareness of that, we make picks every week.
Right.
It also demonstrates that it is a total game of chance and entertainment value, right? Because
we're
horrible
at
it. We're just terrible at it. I mean,
I brought that up in my response. I said, I guess I'm as good at gambling as this pastor is at leading his flock. Because to me, what irked me the most is biblically, if you have a problem with a fellow believer, you're supposed to come to them. And if you don't come to them, if that doesn't work, then you're supposed to bring another with you. And none of this, no conversation was ever had. It could have saved this person from looking like an idiot. Because regardless of what happens with the ethics complaint going forward, which I know the state is not pursuing, but the House ethics still could.
Yeah.
You know, regardless of what happens moving forward, I don't bet.
Yeah. Well,
I don't have time to keep up with sports enough to really wager even a dollar on a game. So it's not, you know, it's funny. My wife was laughing, and she's like, so that's where all of our money's going. It's not my Amazon purchases or my Disney trips. It's your gambling problem, that, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, and again, that's just the unfortunate part of, I guess the job is that you'll take these sort of pot shots. You'll get, you know, I found it odd that when we were notified of this formal complaint lodged against us, that the very next business day, you know, this person is putting out
a press release.
You know, and so that
when someone shows you who they are,
right,
believe them.
And so that sort of let the cat out of the bag for me.
Yeah. You know what I found funny was not only in this complaint, but as well as the former radio host that does a podcast now, that mentioned this, the clips that I seen that were sent to me, they all seem to point towards me. And the funny thing is, it's the assumption of guilt. And this person also always calls me a lobbyist. Now, the really funny thing about it is this pastor that filed the ethics complaint is a registered lobbyist. I am not.
Wait a minute. Like, wait a minute. You had the registered lobbyist slash pastor who made the formal complaint about us. You're saying a radio host now picked this up?
Yeah. Okay. Well, one that really hates me.
Oh, gotcha.
He likes you, but we're not going to bring up any names because, you know, I try not to lead people down BS information to begin with.
Let's get back to the actual formal complaint.
I've got the on the press release.
Yeah. That was what I found. I was like, that just takes the cake right there. Yeah. When you make a formal complaint and then follow it up with a press release, that's saying, look at me. It really wasn't about the legitimacy of the complaint. It was more about the person making the complaint. And so
That's
why I'm not going to take the bait. I'm not going to disparage this gentleman. He's got his reasons. He honestly thought maybe, and again, I'm extending the grace here, that we were doing something illegal, of which we weren't. And again, he has his interpretation about it. We'll let it go through the process. And, you know, hopefully in an episode or two, we'll be able to come out with, hey, this thing's been dismissed formally. And again, no harm, no foul. But obviously for me, he lost a little bit of credibility.
Well, what pisses me off about it is people like this man are the same people that kept me so long from becoming a Christian. It's the trying to point out dirt under everyone else's rug instead of sweeping under your own.
Mm-hmm.
It's the acting as if you are perfect to begin with and defining what a Christian is. Gossip, for one, or a lot. If you're going to file a formal complaint, pick up the call, everything can be explained. You might be shocked.
Right. <know? laughs> Yeah. So.
But
this gentleman has ties to, you know, the Freedom Party. We're trying to be more courteous. I know you and I talk about this a lot. We're not.
Some are making it very hard to be.
I know. We're not going to get in the gutter. It's unfortunate. I wish the guy had picked up the phone, called either one of us, so we could have talked about it and saved him some time. That didn't happen. He has a press release.
Right. And so he put up, and this was just the online. It says, last week I filed an ethics complaint for two state representatives here in my county, Representative Brandon Guffey, Representative Heath Sessions. Representative Guffey and Sessions conducted gambling activities in clear violation of Article 17, Section 8 of our state constitution. Due to their unconstitutional behavior, I'm calling for a swift investigation by the House Ethics Committee, and if warranted, recommend the appropriate disciplinary measures, including expulsion. See press release and ethics complaints below. So, I mean, this is a ChatGPT thing, so I'll just get to the bullet points because we all know that's where the meat of anything is in ChatGPT. But it says, according to the National Council on Problem Gambling, individuals with gambling disorders are twice as likely to suffer from substance abuse issues compared to general population. A study by the Journal of Gambling Studies found that 50% of people seeking treatment for gambling addiction may also report a co-occurring drug or alcohol problem. The National Institute of Justice has reported that communities with high rates of gambling activity often see increasing crime, theft, fraud, embezzlement linked to financial pressures by the problem created. But the big thing that they did was, it says, according to a complaint, the official Facebook page for Pints and Politics, or you can just go to pintsandpolitics.show. A podcast operated by Rep Sessions and Rep Guffey published a post on August the 30th openly stating that both lawmakers traveled to express purpose of placing, for the express purpose of placing bets on college football games. Mm-hmm. Well, as with any page or any group, numerous people run the page. I mean, a simple metadata will show who this come from, you know. But anyway, it says the bet on college football games. The post includes clear screenshots of mobile betting tickets showing the wagers, odds, confirmations from licensed sportsbook. This public display, coupled with their advocacy for legalizing online sports betting in South Carolina, has ignited broad concern in ethical and legal standards.
All right, let's stop. So now we're getting to the meat of what we're talking about. Okay, this is a gentleman who does not like us even talking about the issue of the bill of online sports gambling,
right,
or sports wagering. And folks, that's the problem, okay? This is a guy who does not want us to have public discourse, okay? This is a guy that says, you believe in the way that I believe, or you're not to be listened to. And if you keep espousing your opinions or your values that run counter to mine, then I'm going to do everything I can to shut you up, and I'm going to silence you. And so, folks, those are the type of people that have no business in leadership in state government at all. You can go try to run a YMCA summer camp. You can go try to lead a church. Fine. Have at it. That's your business. But when you try to silence me or silence this guy, well, good luck with this guy.
I ain't shutting up for nobody.
That's where I have the problem, right? That's where I have a big problem. And so, you know, the first amendment of the Constitution gives us the right to advocate for free speech. It's our free speech. I'm going to tell you to go to hell if you try to tell me to shut up, okay? I think it's in the water, not just here in York County, but in our state, that we're not going to have people outside come and try to tell us how we need to behave.
Look, I agree.
If we're within the confines of the law, we're going to do it again and again and again. If we're out, we're probably going to get caught, okay?
Yeah.
And so...
Especially considering you're getting... there's 100 things you can hate on me about.
And folks, that
for
is...
For something that I actually don't do?
Yeah, that's right.
That's hilarious.
That's the crux of this whole thing for me, which gets me frustrated.
I just found the crux for me.
Yeah.
Because as I'm reading through it, and honestly, I didn't even read through the whole thing worried about it. The requested relief. See if you find this odd. The complainant respectfully requests that the House Ethics Committee immediately investigate the conduct of Rep. Brandon Guffey. Find probable cause that both violated the Section 8 of the South Carolina Constitution, declare his seat vacant pursuant to the self-executing provision of the Constitution, recommend expulsion if necessary under House rules. They don't mention your ass here. Like that. It's just me.
Well, again, maybe
this just shows the hate.
Maybe they're showing their hand there.
Yeah.
So again,
if you happen to go to a church where a pastor wants to openly spread rumors and publicly try to gain more name recognition for whatever other causes, and is a lobbyist to begin with, a truly registered lobbyist within the state.
So the guy who made the complaint against us, again, is a pastor and also a registered lobbyist.
Yes.
And he is tied to several members of the Freedom Party.
Directly.
Folks,
yes. You can just look at who's reposting it. That'll tell you who's with who.
Yeah. So again, I'm hoping that petty politics will be brushed aside, but you know, I think those hopes may be dashed. It is going to be an election year next year.
Yeah.
This is probably just the beginning.
I did call this a false ethics complaint, but what I didn't mean it like the ethics complaint didn't happen. The ethics complaint definitely happened.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is it's a false accusation.
Yeah.
Like just with a lawsuit, you could file a lawsuit against anybody for anything. But that doesn't mean that true reporters are going to pick up on it and then try to state facts just to show what an idiot they are too.
Well, so again, we'll see. That thing will get processed. We'll see what happens. And
I don't even think Fitch picked it up.
Oh, they didn't?
Not that I'm aware of, but I mean, you know, I think Fitz is always willing to take a shot at me anytime that they can. And I believe that they didn't even view it as worthy, but, you know, we'll see.
Hey, speaking of, you know, betting on sports, we did make some picks this weekend. Hey, I'm just glad my Gamecocks got a win, you know? Look, I know what you're going to say. It's Coastal. I don't care.
Hey, that other Sellers, that first play.
Oh, yeah.
He looked beyond fast.
Man, I'm telling you, I know everyone's saying, you know, doom and gloom. And look, I'll be the first to admit, I think I was on this show on the record saying 10-2. Obviously, that didn't happen.
I actually thought the Gamecocks would be, and honestly, I don't think that they're bad. Their record does not show who they are. Like, Clemson is bad this year. It's obvious the holes within their system, and like you were saying, that rat poison, how that got to them right away.
Yeah.
And you could see there wasn't that cohesiveness that has typically been there with Clemson. But the Gamecocks, I mean, you know, A&M, granted, they came back, but they showed that they have the talent and the coaching. It's just that second half.
Oh, man.
It's that second half that's killing the Gamecocks. Yep. And it's like whenever Clemson goes into the locker room, they're not making any changes anymore. It's definitely not the Brent Venables defense.
Oh, yeah.
By far.
Yeah. Well, and so, you know, they got the win. I don't even remember. I stopped watching after 44-0 for the Gamecocks. But Clemson also got a win.
Yep.
Setting up against for a good Furman rivalry game next Saturday.
We'll see. I will be there. I'm taking my father and my two sons.
Yeah.
And we're going to go and enjoy the game. Callahan's only college football game he went to last year was in Death Valley whenever the Gamecocks won. But and Callahan will tell you, Clemson is his favorite team, but Gamecocks are his second.
So, and I do think, I think next Saturday should be a good game.
Yeah.
I think, you know, each team has something to prove. It's a rivalry game. And, you know, South Carolina fans, we're not going bowling. I don't even care.
Who cares about a bowl anymore?
I'm the same way, man. Unless you're in the playoff.
Look, we've got to fix college football, and you've got to decide whether you want NIL or transfer portal.
I know.
You can't have both.
I love
it. It is ridiculous.
Greg Olson said that a few weeks ago on a podcast, Bussing with the Boys, I believe it was. And that was a very good common sense, everyone could understand that type of model where you, hey, look, if you go to university and take NIL money, you're out of the portal now.
I mean, look, college basketball used to be so huge.
I know.
And then look what's happened to it. And the same thing is happening to college football. We're already seeing it happen to the NFL. We're getting back to where we're going to go full circle in baseball, or hockey's going to end up being the sport of this. I'm dead serious, man. Like, I quit watching baseball after the strikes, and then I was all into basketball, and then it became the strikes and all personalities, and, you know, and I kind of quit watching it. And then I was all in football, and I've always liked football. But really, there was that peak time.
Oh, yeah.
And then they kind of ruined it with all the woke nonsense. And college football's always been strong, but now it's getting ruined by the NIL and the transfer.
Yeah, I know. And I don't know why the conferences don't step up. I mean, with the lack of leadership on the NCAA level, why aren't conferences stepping up and making sort of their own? If you got the Big Ten, you know, and the SEC and the ACC all making a standard.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think the Big 12 or the Pac-12, whoever's left, would follow. So,
I mean, we know teams like SMU were nothing unless they could pay their players, right? I mean, that was obvious for decades.
Pony Express, baby.
Yeah, the Pony Express. And then as soon as we brought back the NIL, well, all of a sudden, SMU's back up ranked.
Look,
you know?
See, this is a Clemson fan right here, you know? Once everybody gets to do what they've been doing for all this time.
Georgia Tech is another good example.
So, anyway, but yeah, Clemson, Carolina both got wins. I picked Missouri against Oklahoma. Man, I tell you, Oklahoma is surprising me. That defense is,
I think they're
tough.
One of the best.
It's tough. The issue is if they make the playoff, do they have enough offense to stay in a game against a play? You know what I mean?
That Venables is a defensive mastermind.
Correct. He is.
I mean, that's the reason that he was getting paid more than Dabo whenever he was at Clemson.
Yeah, man, I tell you. they are, I think I've watched several of their last games. It's the takeaways. You know what I mean? They're getting the turnovers where I think in their two losses they weren't. So I tell you, I'm looking forward to the playoff. I really am. I think it's going to be good.
I feel bad for people like Dabo that have built the program and then to just get so many willing to just discard everything that you've done whenever you're in a down season like this. And I feel really bad for people like Beamer that has brought a program and actually given it. Look, Gamecock fans are the worst to always have hope. I mean, that's all that they've had. Having unless it's women's basketball. Thing? No, y'all have always been bad. But I'm talking about from an outsider's point of view. It not only gave the Gamecock fan base hope, but it gave the nation hope. How many people were talking about this program and bringing in these players and the caliber of players? I think y'all were a season or two away from being a top five team. Right. And then now people are like, oh, got to get rid of Beamer.
Oh,
like,
I
that
know.
Would be the dumbest thing that you could do since hiring that Florida coach over Kirby Smart.
Stop. Why got to bring up old stuff, man?
I mean, y'all allowed Holtz to go Ofer.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, just him stay.
I was there. I'm telling you,
Beamer is the type of coach that I would want to play for. Out of all the coaches that's been there. Like,
he's created a great culture.
Steve Spurrier had the reputation. Holtz had the reputation.
Yeah.
But I don't believe that they... It wasn't people wanted to play for them because of their reputation. People want to play for Beamer because he is a motivator.
Yeah,
and I think that's the same reason people want to play for Dabo.
And he's a great recruiter.
Yeah,
He seems to be a player's coach. You know, he gets down to their level, relates with them very well.
Keep the coaches here, man. The coaches have to stay, and we will have the Clemson Carolina moving back up. This year does not look great. I understand it looks bad. But it you're seeing it through the recruiting efforts, and I think Dabo is finally understanding that it's more about the cohesiveness, and you can't always rely on your assistant coaches to do everything.
Well, and to say, you know, you mentioned that about fan loyalty to the Gamecock program. Had some friends go to the Coastal Carolina game yesterday, and they were actually looking forward to the stadium not being packed, you know, because those seats are pretty small.
Yeah.
And, you know, they might have 20 people on a row and a bench. Man, that's back in, like, the 1910s when people were, you know,
in the 80s whenever I used to go for Tannehill.
You know?
Like, it was hardly filled.
You're cuddled up with folks. And he said it was still packed. He said, man, I was so, you know, folks at church today, man, I was a little discouraged because I thought I was going to get some room. they still packed it out. And even the national broadcast on ESPN2 or whatever channel it was on, they mentioned, wow, after a terrible, disappointing come-from-behind loss to A&M, this team is not having the season, only with 3 wins. Just surprised about how many fans are actually in the stands today.
But I think that they have that talent level once again like they did in the Clowney days.
Oh, yeah.
They're getting some of the best.
Yeah.
And it's just getting that to working out a few of those kinks. I don't think that they are very far off. And this is coming from a lifelong Tiger. I really think the Gamecocks are on the way up. Dumbest thing, which I'm not, Gamecock fans are known to do that, but let's see if they decide to get rid of Beamer. I think.
Backhand a compliment was that.
No, I mean, we're just going from history. You said whenever you was at church today, everyone was talking about. I'm just curious, like, did your pastor, did he disparage anyone or lie about anyone or
Stop.
Spread any rumors about anyone?
Nope.
Just, he didn't. I'm just curious.
Nope, sure didn't. Hey, man, and does Cali play church basketball?
He is playing basketball. I don't know where he's playing because I've been gone since he started.
He's going to be a free agent? Or no, he's already on a team?
His first game will be on the 12th.
Okay. Man, yeah. I enjoy this time of year. Emma's, you know, she's a junior and loves church basketball. We had some church.
I think he's doing Roar.
Okay. We had our first girls practice today. Man, I ran them full court, son. They're all like, I'm like, first practice.
Got to do the suicides.
Yeah. So looking forward to that. We will not wager on church basketball games either. So just full warning, everybody. We will have probably some church league basketball updates.
why do you think I brought my money today?
But anyway, that'll end this episode. Again, thanks to Comer Distributing for supporting the show.
I thought the beer was great.
Yeah, me too.
Nice, light. I love the disc golf.
Yep.
And added to it.
This was Slow Play Brewing's Back 9 American Light Lager.
Yep.
Pretty good. Look for it in the can, or just come up here to Rock Hill and go visit Ben and his team over there at Slow Play.
Yeah, and Slow Play is a great atmosphere, but we want to wish everyone a very happy Thanksgiving.
Absolutely.
I'll tell you, I think both of us have so much to be thankful for.
Yep, sure do.
My heart has been full this year, mm-hmm. and I made a post, you know, with the support that I've gotten personally, you know, I couldn't do what I do without that. So I'm very grateful for that. I hope that everyone can spend some time with your family. For those of you who are spending your first Thanksgiving without certain family members.
Yeah. Holidays in general.
Holidays in general. I know it's a rough time, and you know, I would like to, I always try to pray for those that are going through that as
well. So Oakland Baptist is my church here in Rock Hill. We actually have a service just for folks who have lost a loved one. Mm. So, and there that sort of congregation usually grows each year because we have lost family members throughout that year. So there's new folks who join that service. But yeah, we have a service that just focuses on families who's lost loved ones because holidays are usually tougher, right, with that absence. So,
yeah.
It's always a special time. And you know, had some meetings this past week, and we kicked off some of these meetings of what to be thankful for during the season. And that's one thing. I know holidays can be stressful. And a lot of times you're with people that maybe you just tolerate, you know, in some family that are coming to town for a little while. Look, enjoy the moments, you know?
Yeah, definitely do that.
Cause you don't have a lot of them. And, you know, as someone had said to me, you know, don't look at time in months or years. Look at time as, you know, you're only going to see that grandparent maybe on an average 4 or 5 more times because you only see them once a year, right? Whether it's Thanksgiving or Christmas. So, you know, if you look at it and compartmentalize it in that.
Look at it on memories. Moments.
You know, put aside the petty stuff. Put aside the grudges and, you know,
Deal with the things that drive you crazy about another family member. Because I'm going to tell you, I mean, even though holidays are stressful, there's also joys in them.
Oh, man,
and there's always memories that are created. And, you know, since our family get-togethers and holidays and stuff are just not joyful anymore.
Yeah.
Because I get stuck in that memory.
Oh, right.
You know, and it's... And I think anyone who's had those close losses, it really, you're trying your best to enjoy it, but it's hard to forget who's not there.
Yeah, right.
But thank you all for y'all's support. Continue to follow, like us, pintsandpolitics.show.
Yep.
And just remember, like,
hey, have a good, safe Thanksgiving. If you're traveling, everybody just understand, in South Carolina, the passing lane ain't a passing lane, okay? Just go ahead and lock it on 55, 60, especially if you're traveling on Tuesday evening or Wednesday.
Now you're going to get an ethics complaint for instigating road rage.
It is going to be slow. Man, I'm telling you, I travel a lot for work. And, man, if the Highway Patrol, if you could do me a favor, there is a state law that if folks are in the passing lane and ain't passing somebody, you can pull them over and give them a ticket. Please enforce that law because it is not happening. And folks, just because the speed limit is 60 or 70 and you're going the speed limit does not mean that you're everybody else's traffic cop. Get over, please, and let folks who are passing pass.
Or... just don't ride up on my tail whenever I'm going 55 in the right-hand lane because you take away my airflow and cause the bus to overheat.
But, yeah, if you are traveling, you know, this week for Thanksgiving, bring your patience.
Yeah.
You know, but above all, be safe. And get to the ones you love and enjoy this holiday.
Thank you.